Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith and hope with Stephen O'Doherty.
As the campaigns get underway for the same-sex marriage postal survey, what can we learn from previous plebiscites and referenda on controversial subjects in Australia? There are a number of similarities between the processes for the same-sex marriage survey and the process that led to the rejection of the referendum on Australia becoming a republic. The similarities are not just the people involved, but also in the nature of the campaigns for yes and no. In some ways, it boils down to change versus status quo, and that's leading to some fairly similar campaign tactics. John Warhurst is now a politics professor at the Australian National University. He was involved as a key member of the Australian Republican movement during the plebiscite on the Australian Republic some decades ago. I asked him what we can learn from that experience.
I think there are a lot of lessons to draw from the 1998-1999 period. I mean, so many of the central figures, particularly Malcolm Turnbull, are still involved 20 years later. But that was the case, of course, when the referendum was defeated in 1999 after a plebiscite which was used to elect the delegates to the Constitutional Convention, which preceded it in 1998. So there's, you know, a number of parallels which I think are worth thinking about. And well, Tony Abbott too, of course, was a major figure in 1998-1999.
He was.
So on the other side to Malcolm Turnbull.
The arguments might change, but the faces remain the same.
Absolutely. And that in itself, I think, is quite remarkable that 20 years later, Malcolm Turnbull and Tony Abbott in particular are still centre stage in Australian politics and taking similarly on different sides of the argument as far as same-sex marriage is concerned.
Some of the arguments are the same too. In this sense, there's a strong element of change, no change.
Absolutely, yes. And, you know, whatever you think about the issues concerned, both of them, the Republic and same-sex marriage, are attempts to change traditional institutions, I suppose, the Constitution and our traditional idea of marriage being for a man and a woman alone. So it's, both of them, I think, are deeply rooted in our culture. The first one attempt failed, and both sides should learn lessons from 1999, and I'm sure they are taking those lessons, because there's a lot of people who are still involved today in 2017. And I was particularly struck by the intervention, the very quick intervention by Tony Abbott outside Parliament House, laying down what he saw the same-sex marriage plebiscite as being about. And it brought back to me, from my time in 1998-1999, very much echoes of the sort of campaign that he ran against the Republican movement.
And the strategy there being, if people missed it, that you come out early and you define the debate, define the grounds on which you're going to fight this argument.
Exactly. And he said same-sex marriage may be what the question is about, but really it's about a whole range of other bigger issues which dog our culture, like political correctness and freedom of speech and freedom of religion, and he didn't say it on that occasion, but more generally about, you know, relations between men and women, about education and how personal identity is defined and how it's taught in schools. The bigger the range of issues, the better. And you can talk about the merits of each of those issues, but the key thing, I think, is that just as when the Republic was discussed, the No campaign was talking about, will we still be a member of the Commonwealth? Will we still be able to play in the Commonwealth Games? Is it connected with the issue of the flag? A whole range of issues which the Yes case saw as secondary and often not related at all, misleading, red herrings.
Well, I mean, obviously some of those issues are very significant concerns, religious freedom, what protections are in the law and so on. But on the other hand, For the yes case, it's just a very simple change, nothing to see here, nothing will happen, and it's just about this lovely word, equality.
That's right. And I mean, that may be trying to paint the issue much too narrowly, but that's what the yes campaign is about, and how they want to frame the campaign, and they want the campaign to focus on the question of whether two individuals of the same sex can be married under Australian law. If that's the case, the public opinion polls would show the yes campaign ahead.
So for them, it's about equality, it's about choice, it's about love being equal, irrespective of the sexuality involved.
Sexuality, exactly.
So it's a series of positive images versus a series of concerns about the future. And, I mean, I think you're quite right in every way. That's quite parallel in its dynamics to the referendum question. But that one was defeated.
That's right. And it was defeated, I think, partly because of the range of fears about the future and uncertainty. I think in these sorts of votes, once uncertainty is raised, and the slogan of the No campaign becomes, as it was in 1999, if you don't know, vote no, which is sensible advice, I suppose, to be cautious. But once people start being uncertain about the future, then any movement for change, and this is definitely a movement change, yep, the whole question of same-sex marriage may well lead to muddying the waters, maybe way of describing it which is not fair, but it confuses people, and they might say, well, look, I'll just be on the safe side. I don't know how this will affect schooling. I don't know how it will affect other things that I'm concerned about. Maybe on this occasion, I'll say no, thank you very much. I'll stick with what we've got. I'll stick with the status quo.
Yeah, and people who have that view are absolutely entitled to have that view.
Absolutely.
And in fact, I'll go a step further than that, John, and say that it seems to me that if the same-sex marriage lobby is disappointed in the way things have turned out, then they ought to be looking at both sides of politics, but perhaps even the Labor Party, and saying, well, we had the opportunity for a proper plebiscite, a formal plebiscite. We had the opportunity for the Parliament to enable a campaign where there'd be a formal yes case and a formal no case, one that would be informed. A draft bill would be, you know, helpful, for instance. In the absence of even a draft bill, then it would be very understandable that even people who are wavering might say, well, we don't want to buy a pig in a poke here. We'll vote no to be safe.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair.
So do you think there's been a lack of political leadership on all sides on that question?
I certainly think there has over a long period. I think no point casting blame on any particular individual, but I think the whole way it's been worked out has been a bit of a schmozzle, and I think there's a lot of political leaders who are probably thinking, well, how come we've ended up here? I mean, perhaps when it became clear that the government wanted to persevere with the plebiscite rather than the parliamentary vote, perhaps the opposition should have said, well, this is not our preferred option, but at least it means that the rules are clear, that you'll get a high turnout, and we'll get a fair reflection of the Australian community. And so no political leader can escape criticism for ending up with what is very much a third or fourth rate exercise. Even back in 1998, we know that through analysis of the voting of that plebiscite, and the turnout was, I think, about 50% from memory, but different age groups, that older people did participate more than younger people, and therefore you get a bit of a skewed response. No excuse. Younger people should get involved, and certainly any suggestion by people who want same-sex marriage that they should boycott this vote would be political suicide.
It would be self-defeating and ridiculous.
Absolutely self-defeating. I think we'd all be served by an energetic, not an angry or a nasty campaign, but yes, an energetic campaign on both sides, which raises the participation rate in this survey as high as possible.
Now, you're a man of faith, I know. Are you concerned about what happens after the dust settles on this? Are you concerned that the church might lose its ability to speak into a culture after what could well be a difficult and fractious few weeks, couple of months?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, I respect the right, perhaps even the duty, of church leaders who hold particular positions to speak out. And most of the energy so far has been about church leaders speaking out on the no side. And I think, win or lose, if the church leaders play a very prominent part in this campaign, against the backdrop where, as far as we know from opinion polls, a very large percentage of younger people, perhaps 70-80% of under 30s, are in favour of same-sex marriage, that the church leaders at least will have a job of explaining their position and being sensitive to young people's concerns, because the surveys also show, the church life surveys, that young people are less and less attending church on a regular basis. And I think if the church leaders were to be successful in playing a very significant role in a successful no campaign, then it would make their relationship with the younger generation even more complicated than it is at the moment. They would seem to, I think, to not all young people, but many young people would say, oh, there's the church stuck in the past again and derailing a social issue which the clear majority of us young people think was unproblematic and should have gone through. So I think it would complicate relations with young people, certainly will complicate relations with the gay and lesbian community, who I think are largely in favour of a yes vote, even if not necessarily 100% would be. But so that it could be turn out to be a Pyrrhic victory for those church leaders who choose to be really strongly involved. And I'd make a distinction between church leaders who, you know, outlay their concerns and their position to their own flock in the traditional church means, and those who it looks like are gearing up for a full-scale political campaign. I think that those people in particular are moving into very murky waters.
I hope not, but we shall see. John Walkhurst, thank you for helping us to understand some more of that tonight.
Thanks very much, Stephen. My pleasure.
Discover more Open House podcasts at openhousecommunity.com.au.